Welcome to another episode of Declare Your Independence with James Corbett, thecorbettreport.com. One thing, well, he can hear me well, so hopefully, looks like we got recordings going good and it's going out all right. Go ahead and check the stream and make sure we're good, Donna. James has got a bad signal coming from us, but he can hear me, so we can do it. Now, we got like 30-40 minutes this time. We got another thing, both of us, we got stuff to do, but I wanted to make sure I got this in. Will genetically modified humans be patented? Now, this is a question from James's audience, and he went into greatly, and we have talked about this before. The reason that I wanted to bring this up, let me go ahead and I want to share a screen with you, because there is a story that's come out that we have fertility problems. And this is something that started to, hit my radar screen over the last couple of months and so on. And I'm just going, man, this is to be concerned. At the same time, they're wanting to patent genetically changed individuals. China has already done it. And then, of course, the guy that did it got in trouble, or they wanted to make out like he got in trouble. But researchers warn of jaw-dropping crash in global fertility rate. Now, to make sure that you have a replacement population, you need what, James? Like 2.2, per woman or family or something like that to be able to, are you familiar with the rate that we need to replenish population in a country?
I don't know. I think they usually say 2.1 is the replacement rate. So anything over that would be a growing population. Anything under that would be a shrinking population. But as that Lancet report says, it's currently 2.4 and falling, and projected to be 1.7 by 2100. Just for the heart of thinking, 1.7 means the human race will start going extinct.
Yeah.
That's what it means, breeding ourselves essentially out of the picture. Unless, of course, by that point, we'll all be cyborgs uploading our consciousness to machines. So,
or growing us in matrix pods. I mean,
Yeah.
But the Japan has had a very low birth rate for long. You're in Japan, and sunny climes of Western Japan. And I wanted to know, their solution has been an aging population. We need more robots. And I'm just wondering, what has the government addressed the low birth rate in Japan, and how bad is it?
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, Japan now has a shrinking population. It has officially had a shrinking population for the last few years. Obviously, it's just at the very top of the roller coaster ride, so it looks gradual at this point. But of course, that plummets pretty deeply once you start getting into that curve in the next couple of decades. Sorry?
No, I was telling Donna to turn that light up.
Okay.
Because it's
walking I can still hear you. yes, there is a shrinking population. It is a political concern. It has been broached in various ways. Essentially, the political class is trying to get the Japanese population on board for massive changes that will have to come about in society due to the shrinking population, some of which will revolve around bringing in foreign workers. And they've made some moves to at least ease up some of the restrictions on foreign workers, and so sort of bring in more manual labor and nurses and that kind of thing. But still, they're just baby steps at this point. They will have to take off at some point in a big way. And I did write about this specifically in my subscriber editorial last year when I was writing about the demographic. This is what a demographic crunch looks like. And I was writing about my own experience here in Japan, where, of course, I've been talking about this. I've been covering it. I've talked about demographic winter and the underpopulation crisis, the overpopulation myth, you name it. I've talked about it. But I started to see it manifesting in day-to-day reality here in the past year, where suddenly I started seeing cafes were shortening their opening hours, and some restaurants were closing, and others were at convenience stores that have a mandate from the 7-Eleven franchise, you have to be open 24/7. We're asking the corporate headquarters, can we not open 24/7 because we can't find enough workers? All of these things started to change in day-to-day reality here because there's just not enough people. There are not enough young people coming up to take these jobs.
One thing that is starting
to affect our day-to-day reality and the way that we live our lives. And as I noted at that time, one of the effects of that is going to be the robots are one of the things they're trying to inculcate in the population. Not only the healthcare workers, like, oh, don't worry, your assistant who will come and give you your medication will be a robot, but also, as I've pointed out a couple times, there's even, I mean, it's a gimmick, essentially. It's not like a widespread thing, but there is this one temple in Kyoto where apparently the Buddhist, is it Shinto? Anyway, the monk is a robot, literally. And they're you literally see all the Buddhist monks, you know, kneeling down and praying with this robot. It's so bizarre.
No. That's like, what was it? THX 1180, whatever the heck, old movie where in the future they go and confess to a computer and they feel, oh, here's your pill. I mean, you know, it's just, it's getting that way. You know, the one thing where Japan, I became aware of it, was when a stat came out that they were selling more adult diapers than baby diapers.
Yep. That's one way to get a handle on what's going on. And again, I've seen this in my own day-to-day experience. Looking back, I even saw it in my teaching experience here when I was teaching in the public school system, and I was teaching at elementary schools that essentially were going extinct. There was some, like, out in the countryside that you can tell were built 30, 40 years ago and had at some point, presumably, a population of maybe 100, 200 students, now have maybe 100 students going down to 80, 70. Suddenly, as classes started shrinking, I had one combined first and second grade class that altogether was, I think, 7 students or something. So,
okay, wait. As you're watching, you know, a television, I know in Japan they have kind of a socialized funded campaigns. You know, it's like if you get on the ballot, gosh darn it, you get so many posters or something. You know, is there Democratic campaigns where somebody would talk about the demographics, or is that an issue? Are they bringing it up? Is there a public policy, government policy that they're trying to get people to have more children or anything? I mean, how are they acknowledging this at all?
I'm not sure what you mean by a social funded campaign. What?
I thought I remember that when you run for a political office, you get like campaign money, or you're socialized, or there's some funding for your posters, or you get, you know, in various states, like in Arizona, they call it, you know, clean elections or something. You qualify for money or whatever. And I was just wondering during these campaigns, one, if that's true. And then the other thing is, are they addressing this issue as a political campaign?
Well, one, you may be right about that. I really have no idea about the ins and outs of the electoral voting process and whatever. I'm sure there are all sorts of rules and hoops to jump through. But secondarily, is this being addressed? Abe has specifically addressed this. Prime Minister Abe has specifically addressed this on a few occasions and talked about the need for reforms to immigration laws and what have you. And as I say, it is an issue that's on the table. I wouldn't say it's the most pressing political issue that people are talking about, but it is certainly something that a lot of people are at least aware of. And as I say, it's now starting to affect people's day-to-day lives when they start seeing, like, this one family restaurant chain where suddenly, I mean, I remember back in the day, it was all Japanese people waiting on your table. Now it's all, you know, Vietnamese and Taiwanese and whatever, sort of imports, immigrants, all working at this family chain restaurant. I'm like, it just kind of happened. It's like a switch was flipped. So as I say, people are starting to experience this in their day-to-day reality rather than just some sort of vague thing that's happening.
Well, here in America, I mean, you know, it's starting to show up that we're below sustainable rates. And I'm going, you know, is that a push for immigration? Because in France, that's what they were doing. We have to have immigrants to do replacement of, we're not going to have factory workers or something. You know, I don't know what their mindset was. But immigration, it looks like, along with the COVID thing and everything, they're going, yeah, we might just have to kill off the old people or something. I wonder if all this stuff is combined. You know, it seems, you know.
It certainly is. Yeah.
It seems like they're, you know, they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong.
Right, exactly. No, the whole thing, philosophically and scientifically, pseudo-scientifically, goes back at least as far as Malthus. Actually, there were people who predated Malthus, but in our context, we know Thomas Malthus and his, food supply grows arithmetically, but the population grows exponentially. So for the last 250 years or so, we have had these Chicken Little warnings. Any day now, within the next 10 years, it's going to be widespread starvation. We'll never be able to feed 100 million human beings, a billion human beings. human beings, 2 billion human, 3 billion, 4 billion, 5 billion, 6, what is it now? 7 billion going up to 8, whatever it is, we'll never be able to feed the next billion, and somehow we always do. In fact, starvation rates are decreasing worldwide. Puzzle me that. It's almost like we are human beings, and our greatest resource are our brains. As I'm gonna flub the reference, what's his name? Anyway, I've talked about this before. Paul Ehrlich and this guy made a bet, Julian Simon. The greatest resource is the human brain. Our ingenuity will be enough to figure out ways. The more people that are born, the more geniuses and people who can figure things out are born, who will be able to feed the next billion people. That's the way human society progresses. But the Malthusians always see it as a set pie. We only have this much, and anyone else who comes in is going to be a useless eater who's going to be taking from that set pie, and it will never grow, even though it's grown in every generation that has ever existed. So anyway, that's the mindset that essentially is underneath this. And of course, it's very convenient to the eugenicists who want to say, well, if we have to pick and choose, because look, we have this set pie and we can't keep growing the human population that's trying to eat from that pie. So we have to find a way to select who gets to breed and who gets to have children. I guess we'll just have to do it ourselves because we're the wise controllers of society. So right. It is all related.
Okay, now this is where, you know, we're building up to. And one of the things is a question you and I have been talking about this for years, is that it's kind of a slow kill. We need to have and control and, you know, changing human beings with vaccines and RNA, blah, 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 blah. And tinfoil hat people right up until it happens. I mean, you know, and it's like you can't be conspiratorial enough nowadays. You know, so I'm concerned about them being able to genetically alter us and turn us into more subservient drones, but then they want to patent it. And I'm going, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, back the truck up, man. I just want to see patent what? This village belongs to us. We, like Monsanto does, they go and they check, you know, the DNA of your corn, and you violated our copyright. You had a child without, and then we had, just on Freedom's Phoenix, we had a story where they have artificial wombs so that people can gestate and grow their own babies or whatever outside, and couples of whatever. That I'm like, wow, they're not stopping at anything.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. Back in 2013, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that you can't patent natural genes, so everything's good. Of course, you can patent synthetic complementary DNA, cDNA, and other such synthetic creations, but how does that apply to human beings? That'll never... Oh, wait, what? Now we're doing DNA vaccines and RNA vaccines that are literally injecting foreign RNA into our cells so that they will hijack our cells' own protein production process in order to produce antibodies to stimulate the immune response. What could possibly go wrong, right? Don't worry, if you check Reuters, their Reuters fact-check team has fact-checked it, and they say, don't worry, these DNA and mRNA vaccines are not genetic modification. So they said it, so I guess there you go, you have nothing to worry about.
You know, as we find out more and more that all media outlets that I, all of them are compromised. You know, they're inflicted. You know, that was another thing. We had this one editor or writer for the New York Times left under a big hoopla. What was your take on that?
Do not buy the, I'm sure you've seen like Zero Hedge and whatever the right-wing propaganda on that is. This Barry Weiss is this crusader for press freedom and freedom of speech. Do not buy that garbage. It is left-right divide nonsense. And you look into Barry Weiss and who she is and what she said. I mean, look back. Remember that Joe Rogan clip of that stupid, clueless New York Times person who called Tulsi Gabbard a Assad toady? And then couldn't spell the word toady, let alone define it, let alone say how it applied to Tulsi Gabbard. That was Barry Weiss. This is the person that's now this crusading journalist. Oh, yay, someone standing up to cancel culture. No, she is a neocon who has tried to cancel Palestinian authors for speaking out against Israel, etc. Do not fall for this left-right divide nonsense. Do not let them put these heroes up. They are not heroes. Stop looking to the mainstream conversation for any light on these issues, because all they want to do is generate, I'm sorry, any heat on these issues, all they want to do is generate light.
Yeah, I knew to ask you. because I'm this, oh, man. You know, we can't, tomorrow we have a guest on, Melody Krell, that was forwarded to me by Sam Tripoli of the Tinfoil Hat Conspiracy Podcast. We had him on earlier in the week, and he was like, man, you got to have her on. No, I had him on Friday. And you got to have her on. And she, you know, pegged a bunch of things that I've been working on over the years and filled in some gaps. It reminded me of V is for Vendetta when V was in that memorial, and he was dressed up as one of the guys the detective was looking for, and he goes, no, you have all the facts. What you need is a story. Well, I had all the facts, and then you start getting a story, filling it out, but this is what has happened since then, and I remember I emailed you some of this. I was concerned about, you know, yep, we're finding out who owns the Federal Reserve, who owns the stock market, who owns Seed & Co., who owns, you know, DCTT, you know, all these different, you know, where all the plumbing goes to they, them, those when this thing crashes down and they just make more bank and sell it back to you again. So I'm going, okay, but then what? You know, it always comes down, I take my own advice and I'm like, then what? The solution is still the same thing. It's decentralization. You know, it's down to, you know, we just, we don't need you. And I, if you know exactly who they are, which you've done with Bill Gates' thing, you know, you made it very detailed, you know, but if it's not him, it's 15 gazillion other guys behind him. You know, so the solution is what in your mind? We should be focusing not on who and what's doing it. I mean, it's good to know that and have general public opinion against being ruled in general, but I think the solution is much more basic and human. What's your thoughts?
Well, thank you for posting up my recent conversation with Keith Knight on Freedom's Phoenix. I saw that, so I know you are familiar with that conversation. For anyone who isn't, please go and listen to it, because it talks about the solution that has always been the solution and will, as long as humanity exists, continue to be the solution to tyranny, which is to stop complying with tyranny, stop doing what they say and just going along to get along. That is exactly what creates these tyrannies. That's exactly how they function. And so if you listen to that conversation, we spell it out in detail for 45 minutes. Hey, even better yet, why don't you read actually Etienne de Labouedi's book? And there it is in black and white, 500-year-old wisdom. It's centuries-old wisdom. It's timeless. That's the one and only solution. And there's a lot of different corollaries to that solution, one of which is we can't just sit there and criticize and say, oh, you know, I don't want to do that, and that's wrong. No, we have to build the alternative system that other people can then join into, because no one's going to leave a system, however tyrannical, authoritarian, oppressive it is, unless there is a way for them to leave it and not instantly starve in the streets. I mean, no one's going to do that. So we have to start building up the alternatives. We have to build the gray and black markets and the agora generally. And that's it. That's the solution. It's not a happy, easy, let's vote for this guy and everything will change kind of solution. It means we're all going to have to work. But, you know, did you expect any other kind of solution?
Right. It's Freedom's Phoenix. I mean, it's just going to come up from the ashes. You know, the one thing, another bit of news is, you know, one of a fellow podcaster and so on, Dan Dix, just got totally, you know, deleted off of YouTube and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just, it's one at a time. They're just totally, and I'm wondering, they did everybody all at once. They demonetized, they went after a lot. And now it seems one at a time, they're starting to just, you know, delete everything. And I'm encouraging these guys to get backups and have alternatives and whatever. Then today, Twitter got hacked. You know, and somebody went in and said they were Bill Gates. And y'all double your money if you give me Bitcoin in the next 30 minutes. You know, and a bunch of people did. I'm going, oh, of course they did, you know. And I just heard about this. We just put it up on Freedom's Phoenix because I thought it was funny, you know. But what did you hear about it?
Yeah, I heard the same as you. And I saw, I mean, it was Bill Gates. It was Elon Musk. It was Joe Biden. It was, I mean, it's crazy. Which should really, I mean, that's a huge scandal for Twitter. I mean, if you care about that. But honestly, that should undermine faith in that platform entirely. So we'll see how they deal with that, what should be the PR crisis of all PR crises. But anyway, yeah, kind of funny. I mean, anyone who's dumb enough to send, oh, this person's going to double it, all I have to do is send them $1,000 of Bitcoin for some reason, and then they'll give me $2,000.
Well, because he said, because I've been told I don't give back. I want to give back. I'm going
to
give back.
And in order to give back, you have to give to me first.
Yeah, might as well just said he was from Nigeria. I'm just
I know.
I was like, wow.
My new Nigerian accountant says. Yeah, anyway, it is kind of funny. But anyway, so only $100,000 has been collected in that Bitcoin account. So
yeah, but I want to know who gave it to him. I just, that'd be good. That'd be good. You know, the...
Dan Dix. Yeah. Dan has been aware of this censorship problem for probably as long as I have, if not longer, and he is on all of the BitChute and Library and whatever. He's not done. He's not stopping. He's still out there. He's still going. He's got his own site, so people can find him and support him on all the other channels that they should be on anyway. This is just another reminder. And in fact, I just recorded New World Next Week where we had a comment on this, and read a comment from Dan where he says, you know, this is just another reminder that we have the power, and our power is to take our attention over to the decentralized alternatives that already exist. And this is just another reminder that that's the way to go.
Yeah, there's, but there's holdouts, man. They love them some YouTube and how easy it was, because it does have the power of Google. Because what's happened is they have fast uploads. You can stream, and then it, you know, embeds it. You can embed it from their site. It's all these conveniences. And we had the CEO of Twitch on. Now, of course, Twitch is going, woohoo, Twitter, look what happened. Pick us. And a lot of people are going over these, but our thing is still the speed of upload of video. And I'm going, you know, we could put it on our own. And we're like, you know, we got the IPFS and we got our own sites and so on. But I'm really looking forward to promote anyone that is a competitor by, you know, performance with YouTube. But there isn't, you know, not yet. They're not, you know, they're just not quite there yet. So I'm wondering, you got something that you're happy with? Because you're not doing 3 hours a day. I mean, you know, Donna's ready to freaking shoot me. You know, if she has
that's a lot of video.
Yeah, because I mean, it takes a long time to get that up.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, you need an editor so you can edit it into some manageable chunks. More people would watch it, and it would be easier to upload. But assuming you're just uploading 3 hours at a time, yeah, it's going to be difficult. But I, as people know, I host everything on my own servers. You can stream it from my servers. My servers aren't really optimized for streaming, but you can download it from there anyway and watch it locally, which is the way you probably should be doing it. But I'm also on BitChute and Library and Mines, and I have zero problem uploading to any of those. In fact, I've been uploading Library for 4 or 5 months now. I've never had a problem on there. Mines, I've never had a problem uploading. BitChute is slow when you upload individually, but I get it to mirror my YouTube channel, so I don't even have to do anything. It just automatically appears, and generally within 20 minutes. So,
well, we're in New Hampshire right now, and you know, I see Jeremy Kaufman all the time playing poker and whatever, and we've been working on it. And it's just, I'm trying to integrate all the, I have a new social media director that is just kicking butt, and we're, you know, getting a lot of traffic. But right when that started to happen, when I had Sam Tripoli on and we were talking about this Mel Krell issue and a lot of the stuff, boom, man. You know, we started, if we were on all of, we got hit. I mean, they were coming after servers. Dude, I'm going, oh, yeah, man. Oh, I thought you forgot about me. You know, I'm just, they have no idea how motivated I get when they do this crap. You know,
that's why you got to get a video guy. I'm telling you, that's where it's at.
I know. Well, the main thing that we're doing is, of course, we stream and do video of the show. You know, so that's 3 hours a day. That's just what that is. But Donna and I, we have it set up here in the bus for us to do just our own special kind of, but we're not quite in the groove yet. We're still working on different things. Hell, I'm playing farmer here. I'm building, you know, horse trailers into chicken tractors out here with Jay. I mean, it's, you know, it's a thing. Luke Radowski is right behind me over here. You know, he's, you know, thinking of going on the road. He moved out of his apartment, has a RV, and now getting it all set up, he's ready to do the same thing. So he's inspired by a lot of the, you know, accoutrement we have in here and our capacity, and he's doing kind of the same stuff. And it's about time. And I tell you, you know, Luke, being in New York City, in Brooklyn there, he moved out of the itty-bitty living space. You know, for the first time, he touched a power drill. The first time as a saw. he's well learning to weld and grind and, you know, and fix and do and engines and cars and all that. And his, you know, girlfriend is out there gardening. And this is the first time he's gotten like fingernails dirty. And it's just, and I mean, that's nothing against anyone. I mean, he lived in New York. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? But he made the decision, I'm out. And it's just, and you can see the fear erode away and the confidence and self-esteem just starting to come back, you know, that he's not in his freaking little apartment for months at a time. We were at Pork Fest, and Tatiana Moroz is a Bitcoin enthusiast and a musician, and, you know, done the Bitcoin song and all that kind of stuff. And 3 hours, you know, we were interviewed, and her whole thing was about, you know, how she's been in a bubble and what's happening. It's got to be a psychological effect. Now they want, you know, whether they're going to open or close the schools. Or here in New Hampshire, the activists are, keep them closed, screw you. You know, we don't want to go anyway. We're done. You know, and they're, well, wait a minute. We want you to beg us to open the schools. Well, what if the people didn't? Then what? You know, we're at a very, and you and I have talked about this since the end of 19 and early 2020, that this was the year. This is it. You know, it what? You know, define for the people what you think it is.
I don't know. That was always your thing, that this is it. I don't, as you'll recall from our conversations at the beginning of the year, I said, I don't know. But I've always said that whatever is coming is going to center around the 2020 selection circus. Yeah. And of course, everything's going to be, at least until November. And what do you bet if and when Biden or whatever puppet they want to put in place is put in place soundly, suddenly, everything's better again. And look, everything's improving. And now we're not testing as much, and there's not as much coronavirus. Wow, it's, you know, I mean, I could imagine that kind of thing playing out. And that's maybe a best-case scenario, because worst-case, they will keep up the fear and even turn it up until the vaccines arrive to save
the day. Is this fear being turned up? I mean, you know, is it the lamestream media, the media so last century? Or is it, you know, just social media? Is it everywhere? Is it? It seems like, you know, every bureaucratic position, every teacher position, every administrator, every clerk, every local municipality, because we've been seeing this since the mid-90s as activists, that this infiltration was coming. And it's like they flipped the switch, you know, and the Marxist revolution to be a coming. This is like G. Edward Griffin, old time black and white, been telling you about it kind of stuff. So do you see this as a plan? Is it being successful, or are they a victim of their own BS and they don't see what's going to happen, or we don't see? Who's not seeing what's coming?
I'm not sure if this answers your question, but I'm just thinking of an analogy here, thinking about, you know, who is really setting this agenda and where the fear is coming from. And I think, well, let me just think of this on the fly. So I would say that the old 20th century model of mass media was the government and the establishment, the corporations, the banksters are giving a message through the megaphone of the establishment media, the corporate media that's bought and controlled. But in this age, this space age we're living in of instantaneous communications and satellite uplinks and around the world, instantaneous communication, suddenly their megaphone looks more like a little tin can compared to our global reach, right? So, and yet it is still the establishment media that tends to set the discourse, because people have been trained Pavlovian style. Well, if it's in the New York Times or whatever, then it's serious news. And so we better talk about it, even if it's to disagree with it. Which is kind of the tail wagging the dog when you think about it. So I think the fear is still coming from the same old places, the establishment people giving their message through the establishment media and everyone else reacting to it. I think it's, again, because people don't realize their own power to set their own discourse. We could have our own conversation, but instead we're still chasing the MSM's tail.
Oh, I want to share this with you before you run out of time. A friend of mine, and a listener, he sent me a text message, and I called him, and he goes, you know, I just wanted you to know, you know, his son took some stimulus and had unemployment, and he works, but he's a periodic worker at nuclear power plants, you know, when they have outages and you go to the other. So they have this, you know, thing that they do, I guess, unemployment, they get laid off for a while and they go to the next one, that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, his bank account was zeroed out, you know, and he was like, what? So a lot of his friends and people that he knows, you know, that do the same thing happened. So I've been looking to go, is this a systemic thing? Are they, you know, is this starting? Because we know people that this has happened to. So I'm wondering, because God forbid you take a government check, it comes with a, you know, stroke dash agreement or something. I mean, I don't know what it is. So that just happened today. So we're, you know, we're kind of, I want to see, you know, where this goes. Oh, it was yesterday. So what happened is just out of prudence, all the cash, which was, you know, not an enormous sum, but substantial. Don and I, we did 2 days of going to the bank, and it's out. You know, we're going into crypto, precious metals, have a little bit of cash on hand. Kind of, I'm like, yeah, because when you start hearing, you know, here it comes, you know. And, you know, I got a bank run domain, too. And it was an idea from John Sneason at a Winnipeg, an economist. He wanted to do a bank run, and your entrance fee was a withdrawal slip from the ATM. That was your entrance fee, that you took something out. And the run is going to ATMs and taking more money out, you know, which is just fun. And so we got some domains for that, and that might be a thing. You know, yeah. I'm seeing
the window is closing on that in every way. And I don't know if you've experienced it yet, but I keep seeing stories about the coin shortage going on in the States right now.
Yeah, no, we've had a freedom sphere. What do you think that is? People are just hoarding coins because they like have some value?
No, supposedly it is, I think, distribution problems and also supply problems. The U.S. Mint is not supplying as many coins because of the precautions they're taking for their employees, aka the lockdown, or at least that is the excuse they're using to limit the supply at this point, and that is causing the shortages. But I'm sure this is a generated crisis in order to bring in more impetus for a cashless future.
Yeah, God. Man, they're those, man. They're pulling the triggers, and you know, here we go. You know, before you go, I know.
And, by the way, this relates to Stephen Guinness. I don't know if you
know
him or follow his work.
No,
I've just recently found him, but he's been writing a lot about central bank digital currencies and all of the white papers and proposals and everything. And he says, I mean, it's just a kind of number out of thin air, but he says it looks like it's converging by around 2025. We're going to start seeing the rollout of the central bank digital currencies. It's in the cards anyway, whatever year it happens.
Yeah, I don't see how that's going to make precious metals go down, though.
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, especially for people who understand the value of it, it will only increase, essentially. But I mean, I'm sure it'll placate a lot of normies who will be happy to accept the central bank digital currency.
You know, whatever.
Is this Bitcoin or what is this?
Okay, on a personal note here, I just want you to know that I noticed that you had this great video up of you playing guitar and rock star at a club, and then when I go to show Donna, it was gone. So what happened? It wasn't up there. I didn't see it.
It's not on the Corporate Report channel. It's on my band's channel.
Well, how the heck did I see it? I thought you had it on your...
I posted it to the front page of Corporate Report, but it's from my band's channel. Kodomosan, Kodomosan. If you look that up, you'll find our BitChute, our Minds, even our YouTube, should you be so inclined. And you can see a lot of the stuff. That was from, I think, 7 months ago, you know, back before the world changed forever and people were still playing gigs.
What?
Yeah.
How many gigs have you guys played? A bunch?
Only about 3 or 4, but that was before... Basically,
well, hell, you just started learning guitar, what, a couple years ago?
No, I've played since I was 18, but I've only been properly studying for the last 5 years.
Oh, well, I'm like, oh, man, living the dream. You know, the James getting to sing, be a rock star and everything. Awesome.
We're writing songs. We're still practicing every weekend. I don't know if we'll ever have a gig again, but if we do,
So you sing in Japanese?
Sometimes, but not much. No, mostly English.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to let you know I noticed. I was glad to see you having fun, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You got to live.
You got to keep your sanity somehow, right?
You got to live. James Corbett, The Corbett Report. Thanks for checking in. You know, I know we're busy, and it's good. Yeah. I just feel better every time I talk about it, you know, with you, because I'm just like, you know, are we the only one that sees this stuff? I mean, holy crap. This is happening, but the solution is the same. It's decentralization down to the individual in every aspect of life, small communities of taking care of themselves, and that's how we always survive this stuff. You know, thanks for coming on. Peace, James.
All right. Take care, man. Bye-bye.